This podcast is part of the Podcast Arcade Network.
Welcome to the Covert Nerd Podcast. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Please take a moment and pause this podcast right now and share it with somebody who you would think would enjoy the same topic, whether it's a family member, friend, coworker. I would really appreciate it. Please go to covertnerd.net for all the previous episodes and the different ways that you can get in touch with me. And without further ado, let's dive right in and nerd it up. We've got Tim back here to talk some Marvel MCU, everybody. We're going to talk Marvel Phase 4 and some fun predictions and what we may or may not like in Phase 5 of the MCU. Tim, the first question is, briefly, if you're listening to this, you probably already know what Phase 4 of the MCU kind of is, but let's look at maybe... You want to go with maybe top three favorites from Phase 4? Do you have a top three?
Gosh, do I have a top three? Yeah, it's really interesting because Phase 4, I feel like as a phase, wasn't incredibly cohesive. There's just like, it felt like just a bunch of throwing stuff in the pan and seeing what sticks or whatever. I think my favorite movie from Phase 4 was Shang-Chi. Almost definitely. And then here we go. I got it. That was my favorite movie. My favorite series is really, really close. But I think my favorite series is going to be Hawkeye.
Oh.
And then
I was thinking maybe you'd pick WandaVision, but
you know, we can get into it.
Yeah.
And then for my third thing, I'll go ahead and say Werewolf by Night, as far as like the specials go. So I'll pick one of each there.
Okay.
WandaVision was really interesting for what it was. It embraced the concept of it being a TV show, which I thought was really, really cool. It was a unique experience that I think only works in TV. Like, you couldn't have had a WandaVision movie and had it be the same thing. And I think that was very, very bold. And I liked WandaVision a lot. At the end of the day, Hawkeye just sticks with me. I love Clint. I adore Kate. Kate's one of my favorite characters in the comics. And the way Hailee Steinfeld played her was just absolutely wonderful. I think we've talked about that in the past as well. I adored her and Yelena. I think their relationship is one of my favorite things to come out of the MCU of all time. I think it's just absolutely wonderful.
That's saying a lot of all time. That's a lot.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. It's a bold statement. But I'm not known for taking the soft roads. I know a lot of people are a little divisive on Hawkeye, and that's cool. I mean, if you don't have to like it just because I dig it. And I understand that it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. I'm the guy whose favorite Star Wars movie is Solo. So I can...
that's a hot take.
I can dig it. No, for sure. I don't think it's the best, but it is my favorite. And that's kind of where I'm with Hawkeye. What I'm looking for anytime I'm consuming media, whether I'm reading a comic or reading a novel or watching a TV show or what have you, it's just like, how do I feel when I'm consuming that media? Even video games to a certain extent. What's the feeling I get when I go back and think about the media? You know, and in this case, Hawkeye is the first thing I think of when I think about what I've enjoyed on the Disney Plus side of the MCU, like just from all of the stuff that came out. Like, I adored Ms. Marvel. I thought Ms. Marvel is wonderful, but I'm ultimately not the target market for that, and that's not something that I think about all the time when I'm like, what wouldn't this be XYZ? But I do think about Hawkeye, and I think about Kingpin and Echo, and just the relationship between Clint and Kate, and the relationship between Clint and his family. And I'm a real sucker for a good story about a dad and his kids. And at the core of Clint's story in Hawkeye, it is about a dad and his kids. You can even put Kate in with his kids. I think he sees her as almost a surrogate daughter. He feels responsible for her. And ultimately, I think you would see them more as more of a sibling rivalry. But I do think there's that paternal instinct that Clint has, and he wants to protect her, and he sees her as somebody he's responsible for.
Sure.
And I think that ties into the overall themes.
So your view on Hawkeye, it's more about the interesting relationships within the storyline that are fascinating.
Jeremy Renner got to be a character instead of a archetype. And I'm always excited for stuff like that.
Of course, we like Vincent D'Onofrio's William Fisk.
Vincent D'Onofrio. It's so good. He nails that character 100%. It's really, really cool. It's a nice subtle tease for what might be coming. The end with the gunshot and Wilson Fisk echoes exactly what was happening in the comics in the early 2000s. The exact same scenario happened. I think even Echo was involved to some degree, but I'm really excited to see where that's going. Context clues and all that. I mean, he's not dead. I can confidently say that.
Oh yeah, they're bringing him back.
Yeah, no, for sure. You have to.
You have to.
If you can get Vincent D'Onofrio, you get Vincent D'Onofrio. It's like Ben Kingsley. If you can get Ben Kingsley, you get Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
Which is, look at that. I segued right into Shang-Chi.
Yeah. Let's segue to that. What's great about that?
What isn't great about that? So I'm a fan of like kung fu movies, right? Like I love Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I love all of that crazy goodness, right?
What about that old Bruce Lee stuff?
Oh man, I love it. Right on my shelf here, I've got the Criterion collection for the Bruce Lee stuff. I've got Zatoichi, the Blind Swordsman. I'm a big fan of that stuff. When Black Widow came out, the release of Black Widow in the timeline, it felt really weird. Outside of the release window, I think Black Widow is a much stronger movie. That's not my point, but I feel like I might as well say it. Black Widow, I think most of us just saw as a holdover. We didn't see that necessarily as the beginning of Phase 4. The beginning of Phase 4 was going to be Eternals and Shang-Chi. And I completely backed, 100% backed Eternals. I was like, Eternals is going to be my jam. Shang-Chi, I was not that impressed with. I didn't think the trailers looked like fine. Like I was going to see the movie and I was going to like it. I'm biased. I get it. It's fine. But when I went and saw Eternals, I was a little bit let down. I don't think Eternals is a bad movie. I don't dislike it by any means, but I was expecting not the movie we got. And I felt a little bit bummed out by it. When I went and saw Shang-Chi, I had the complete opposite experience. I was going in kind of like, it'll be like a cookie cutter thing. It'll be kind of fun. I was not expecting Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon mixed with Marvel stuff. It was spectacle to the nines. Like everybody talks about the bus scene because that's in the trailers, but I absolutely love the scaffolding scene when they're fighting on the side of the building. I love that. Awkwafina stole my heart. I love her. I love her relationship with Shang-Chi. It's not a romantic relationship. And how often do you see something like that in a summer blockbuster? It just doesn't happen. And then Ben Kingsley, who, like, you know, I'm weird, right? I love Iron Man 3. It's one of my very favorite Marvel movies. And that goes back to, you know, I was in the military. I've got PTSD. So seeing Tony Stark have PTSD was always something that really kind of resonated with me. And I thought it was really bold for them to completely shirk what the Mandarin was or could be and really subvert expectations. And to address the Mandarin in this movie the way that they did with Wen Wu was amazing. Tony Liu just killed it. But to have bringing in Ben Kingsley, they didn't have to do that. And he didn't have to like own the entire movie along with it. It was super duper fun. I just really, really enjoyed it. It was spectacle, but it made you care. And it had just little sprinkles of other MCU stuff, which was really, really cool. I just like it. It resonated with me. It was really, really fun. And
it was fun. There we go.
Yeah,
that's the easiest
way to put it. And then Werewolf by Night. Have you seen?
Yeah,
Werewolf
tell us Night? About that one's. I haven't watched it yet, but a lot of people just love it.
So here's the thing. There's only been two specials out so far. We've got Werewolf by Night and the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. Have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
I have not. I'm way behind.
You haven't. That's fine. So what they've done...
We can go ahead and spoil, so I'll just let people know now. Oh, sure. We'll probably spoil all of this, so...
Yeah, no, for sure. I apologize if what I've been saying is a spoiler. I apologize for that. What they've been doing with these one-shots, more or less these specials, is a challenge. It's an interesting challenge because you only have about an hour, give or take. It may be 45 minutes. It might be like an hour 10, something like that. But we're getting... not so much like Guardians of the Galaxy has the luxury of building off of something we already knew. And this definitely is like a mini bridge between Endgame and the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Like if you don't watch the holiday special, I don't think you're going to be missing out on too much. But also, I mean, Kevin Bacon's in it is great. But Werewolf by Night took... It takes the monster side of the MCU, which we really hadn't experienced too much of, adds on a black and white filter. So it's got a real kind of campy horror feel to it. And it introduces Elsa Bloodstone. It introduces Werewolf by Night. And we also get Man-Thing in there, which is ridiculous. It's so cool. But in an hour, what they accomplish... by introducing characters, giving them believable drive and motivation, you get enough of a story in just an hour that you feel like I feel like Elsa Bloodstone's been in more than just an hour long special. And it very much like it's called Werewolf by Night, but it very much is Elsa's story. I believe early reports were that was going to be a Blade vehicle.
Yes, I was just going to ask you that. Is this a segue into Blade later, possibly?
It darn well could have been. It's been confirmed that Elsa Bloodstone will be in more Marvel stuff in the future. We don't know to what extent or what properties or anything like that. And I don't know if she'll be like a major character or if it'll just be like a walk-on like Carol in Endgame. So Laura Donnelly played Elsa Bloodstone and she just left an indelible mark. Also interesting fact on Werewolf by Night, it was directed by Michael Giacchino, and I butchered that name 100%. He's a composer. So he's done a lot of the scores for Marvel movies, and he did the score for Werewolf by Night as well. And it's just kind of cool. You don't really ever hear of...
He also did the Batman.
Yes, he did. And I mean, it makes sense. I mean, of course he would be able to do something like that. And he did a phenomenal job, too, for a first-time director.
Composer gone director. That is an interesting move.
There's actually, they have one of their making of specials up on Disney Plus. I haven't watched it yet, but it is about Werewolf by Night. And I think they called it like Director by Night or something like that.
Expound a little bit on that, Tim. Werewolf by Night and how it fits into the Marvel Comics universe, because I know a little bit of it, but not a whole lot. It's a little bit of a more obscure title, I think.
Yeah, a little bit. Werewolf by Night is a terrible title. It's a really... Like, when else are you going to see a werewolf, right? Let me see, because he was played in this by Gael Garcia Bernal, and I butchered his name as well. He plays Werewolf by Night is Jack Russell is his name, which dog. Is, yeah, it's not great. But it's just, it was a campy horror thing, like in the 60s, 70s, maybe even into the 80s, one of Marvel's low-key tentpole books was Tomb of Dracula, and that introduced Blade. Yeah, it was just monster hunters, and that was Elsa Bloodstone's dad, I think, was part of that. He's just like, he's a werewolf, but he's like, when the full moon comes out, he turns into a werewolf, and he... is like just like a dude. And so he's trying to figure out how to not be a killer werewolf. Sure. And also in this special, spoiler alert, he's best friends with Man-Thing, which is great. And Man-Thing, do you know Swamp Thing from the DC universe?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Similar. Man-Thing is kind of the boy. I the monster side of Marvel is not my strong point, so I may mess up a little bit, and if I do, I apologize.
That's fine.
But the way I understand it is Man-Thing is kind of an essence of like the spirit of Earth, I guess. But it's interesting because any like he who knows fear burns at the touch of Man-Thing. So like if you're afraid of him and he touches you, like you burn, you catch fire or whatever. In the comics, one of Man-Thing's best friends is Howard the Duck. I actually think Howard the Duck might have been introduced in a Man-Thing comic. And Man-Thing in the comics, not necessarily in the MCU, in the comics is kind of the guardian of this blue orb that's like the nexus of all realities. And it would be, you know, the Marvel conspiracy theorist in me wants to extrapolate from that and turn it into like, oh well, the multiverse and blah 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 and orbs and Man-Thing, but ultimately it's a monster movie.
Yeah,
if we never see any of the characters from Werewolf by Night again, fine, it's completely not necessary. If we got to see them again, it would be super super duper fun. So far, and this is a weird segue and it's a little bit messy and I apologize, so far the only MCU property we've had that doesn't have any ties to the bigger Marvel universe is Moon Knight, and I think we might have talked about that in the past also. But I think it's very interesting. Moon Knight is very much an insular thing. And I thought we would get the same thing with Werewolf by Night. But Werewolf by Night dares to acknowledge the wider MCU, which is really, really cool. To the point where I had to sit and think about it, because the tone of the special matching with any other MCU property, whether it's Guardians of the Galaxy or Doctor Strange or literally like Endgame even, it's so not that. It's so much its own kind of camp. And I had to ask myself, is this something, could I see Captain America the First Avenger happening in the same world as Werewolf by Night? And I think I can. I think what they're doing that I think is incredibly smart is they're allowing these hour-long specials to just be their own thing. And after the course of however many years it's been since Iron Man 1 came out, they've bought themselves a degree of, let's say, absurdity, right?
Yeah.
So like the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special is uproariously funny. It's kind of dumb, but also there's some really cool revelations and some aspects that are going to play into specifically Peter and Mantis's relationship. And this was also a cool way to let Mantis and Drax have the spotlight, which there's just no room for in the features. Like, they're great characters. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, their relationship between like Drax and Mantis is one of the driving forces of the emotional core. It's one of the things that keeps you invested without feeling exhausted about like Peter's obsession over his dad or Gamora, you know, fretting over her stuff. Then you've got like the big doofus and the naive lady doing their thing, and it's really, really funny. But being able to spend 45 minutes to an hour with them on Earth, it's just kind of interesting. Like, I shouldn't be able to see this. Like, we shouldn't get to have this. I shouldn't by the rules of how cinema works and how media consumption is, I shouldn't be able to have an hour-long monster movie that deals with Man-Thing, Jack Russell, and Elsa Bloodstone. Like,
one of the reasons you like it so much is because it is so off the wall.
Oh yeah, it's completely bananas, but like in absolutely the best way. There's a term that I don't like that a lot of people use for movies or video games or TV shows or whatever, and they say that a property feels comic booky, right?
Yeah.
And for you and I, we've consumed comic books, and comic books aren't just one thing.
Sure.
You know, comics can be dramatic and or scary or funny or over the top, but comic booky has come to be more bombastic or larger than life or something like that, which again I don't agree with, because like Road to Perdition is a comic book and it's not any of those things, or V for Vendetta, or you know, anything Alan Moore did after Watchmen. Oh man, I hate myself already for saying this. I think that these one shots from Marvel are allowing the MCU to embrace whatever comic booky is seen as, right?
Yeah.
So like we can have a goofy sequence in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, but I wouldn't say Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is goofy. There are goofy aspects. It is a funny movie. I would not say it's a comedy. It's got comedic elements. The Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special completely is a comedy. It's absurd. It's a comedy, but it happened within the scope of the wider MCU. So if you've ever seen any of the Marvel movies with Star-Lord or Drax or Gamora's not even mentioned because we ain't even going to go there right now, but all of that stuff, this is important to that. This gives context to that. This allows those characters another dimension so that they're not just a literal doorstop.
Yeah.
They get to be funny, and they get to react, and the whole premise of this is they know how much Peter reveres Kevin Bacon, and they're like, you know what would be a good Christmas gift, because they're learning what Christmas is. They go to Earth and they kidnap Kevin Bacon, and boy, it's great. It's absolutely wonderful. Kevin Bacon sings a song. It's absurd.
So you're let's see, you had Werewolf by Night, Shang-Chi, and Hawkeye, but maybe the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special might be
it's darn close. It falls into the what I was saying with the shorts in general, where it allows a different form of storytelling. And I can watch an hour show multiple times versus, you know, a 2.5 hour movie. Like I'm crazy, and I've watched Endgame multiple times, right? But I'm not the average Joe. I'm obsessed with this stuff.
I just realized that Marvel on the horror genre, if you look back in the 50s especially, they had a lot of horror titles and storylines. That makes sense, I guess, that they're kind of going back to their roots on Werewolf by Night and kind of tapping into that old school horror.
Groot was introduced in a horror book.
Oh, Groot was?
Yeah, he was the monster from Planet X.
Oh, really?
And I don't know how true it is, but there's an anecdote that was floating around that one of the reasons they included the Thing in the Fantastic Four was that there was a monster element to that. Because Marvel was making their money pre-superheroes on books like Millie the Model and like weird random horror stuff. In fact, Hellcat Patsy Walker was the star of one of their romance books. Patsy Walker had a long run of just being a romance comic, and then they're like, what if but superpowers? And so then she became Hellcat, and they tap in a little bit of that in the Jessica Jones show, but that's neither here nor there. But Marvel does have a history of finding a character and kind of bringing them into the forefront and reinventing them.
And you're right, Man-Thing did introduce Howard the Duck. Yep.
Hank Pym was introduced in the Tales to Astonish, and I'm pretty sure he died in that issue.
Oh, really? Werewolf by Night, if you're into horror or just something totally different, check that out. What about, okay, so those are your top three that you like
those
the most.
Those are my top three, for sure.
Top three. Let's look on the downside, I guess. What the out of phase four, what's the most disappointing, or just maybe not disappointing, just maybe the bottom two.
The bottom two for me, it sounds, you know me, Lee, I love everything, right? I don't want to make people think I didn't like these things at all, but my bottom two, Eternals really let me down.
Okay.
Really let me down, but I've gone back and watched it and I really enjoy the movie. I really like what they did. I think a lot of Phase 4 is a victim of marketing, because we were coming out of Endgame.
Yeah.
And like, what's next, right? And the marketing at Disney and the marketing through Marvel was making it seem like everything's going to be huge.
Yeah.
And if you look at Phase 4 as a whole, everything is not that huge. It was very, very intimate. You know, even Spider-Man No Way Home, right? It was very, very small Peter Parker story under the guise of something larger. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness was very much a small movie on a grand scale. I'd even say Wakanda Forever, which I'm trying not to step too much on Wakanda Forever since it's the newest thing, but ultimately it's another small story on a grand scale. Eternals, I was expecting something larger and I didn't really get it. The other thing that I was really kind of let down on, and this is going to be me being alone in this line, like everybody else is in a line and I'm over here by myself. I did not enjoy the end of Loki.
Oh, okay.
I think as far as the Marvel shows are concerned, all of the shows wrapped up what they were trying to do in that season, right? You've got Hawkeye finished the story it was telling. Ms. Marvel finished the story it was telling. Like, Ms. Marvel even leads into what will be the Marvels, right? So there's there's a cool cliffhanger, but it ends. Moon Knight ends. Like, everything ends. Loki kind of stopped. And I was left wanting so much more. Like, I was completely ready for Loki to betray Sylvie, right? Like, I thought for sure that was going to happen, because the Loki that we got in the show is not the Loki that we fell in love with in the movies. We have this Loki is from Avengers. He's from when, like, prime evil Loki, but because they put him in the TVA and showed him the rest of the MCU, then suddenly we're supposed to believe that he's completely sympathetic without having gone through any of these things. He watched a video of his mom dying. He didn't actually experience that. And I was really disheartened to see that this Loki is just a continuation of the Loki that we watched grow and develop. And it seemed like the show stopped. And I understand that behind the scenes there were COVID related issues that prevented filming, and they had to change some stuff. And okay, I understand that contextually, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't affect me, or that it doesn't rank it as something that really I wasn't a big fan of ultimately. I'm really looking forward to season two. I'm excited to see where they're going to take it. But season one is just kind of left me hanging. As an addendum too, I suppose, as like a bonus thing that I was disappointed in, was WandaVision segueing into Multiverse of Madness. Because I think on their own, I love WandaVision. On its own, I love Multiverse of Madness. But the way it was pitched to me by Disney and by Marvel is that WandaVision is going to set up this amazing thing that's going to happen in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And if you look at Wanda's story in Multiverse, it kind of doesn't, like, outside of the fact that she had kids in a town, nothing that happened to Wanda's character, none of the arcs she went through or the development she had in the show carried into the movie. We had to watch her go through all of the same steps she'd already gone through in the show in the movie, and ultimately I was a little disheartened by that.
We didn't really need that necessarily,
and I think part of that too is they hadn't done it before. I'm really hoping that with the Marvels coming out that they trust the people who made Ms. Marvel to have done their job, because I don't feel like that trust was there with not necessarily Sam Raimi, but with the people ultimately in charge of Doctor Strange. It felt like they didn't trust WandaVision enough to have done that. And then it brings up, like, should you be required to see all of these things to go enjoy the movie? And maybe not, but if I've dedicated however many hours it is to watch that show with the promise that that show's gonna matter in a movie, and then I go see that movie and it felt like we're just retreading ground I'd already gone over, like, that's just, like, not fun for me. But, you know, who am I?
Well, speaking of the Marvels, I guess let's segue into Phase 5. So Phase 5, the first movie to start with is Ant-Man the Wasp and Quantumania. What, I guess let's stick in with the threes. What three movies or shows are you looking forward to in Phase 5? What are you most excited about?
Oh, man, see, I'm really excited for all of it. The first few that come to my mind, I'm really, really excited about. And that would be Ant-Man and the Wasp. Quantumania, I'm really looking forward to. I'm really, really looking forward to, man, I said that and now it's all just completely left my brain.
I got the list here. Do you need the list of what's coming out?
Yeah, if you can give me a list, that'd be okay. Great.
Let's run through it real quick. So Ant-Man, Wasp, and Quantumania, Secret Invasion, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Echo, The Marvels.
Echo might get pushed back.
Okay. The Marvels. Yeah, this is obviously not set in stone. This is just predicted, you know, planned. Loki Season 2, Blade, Ironheart, Agatha, Coven of Chaos, Captain America, New World Order, Daredevil, Born Again, Thunderbolts, and I think that's it. That's all I have on the list I pulled up. There might be more, so but...
The Phase 5 stuff that I think I'm looking forward to the most, definitely Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, Daredevil, Born Again, just because, like, Charlie Cox's Daredevil is just the best thing, and I'm really looking forward to it. We didn't even touch She-Hulk. She-Hulk's on my list of favorites for sure. And then the third thing I think I'm looking forward to is going to be Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. But yeah, no, I can't even believe I brushed right past She-Hulk. There was so much in Phase 4. There's just a whole bunch of stuff. But yeah, no, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Daredevil, and Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, are my top three. But then, like, I don't want to sell Thunderbolt short. We're getting Harrison Ford as Thunderbolt Ross, and we're gonna have my girl Yelena is gonna be in there.
Yep.
Which is super cool. Man, it's just gonna be fun. We're probably gonna get some teases for more Fantastic Four stuff.
Yep.
I'm really curious. I think the thing with Quantumania that has me the most intrigued is, up until this point, the Ant-Man movies, pun acknowledged but not intended, have been small, right? Like, you follow Infinity War, which is one, in a world where Endgame doesn't exist, Infinity War is the biggest movie Marvel's done, and the next movie to come out is Ant-Man and the Wasp, and the whole point of that movie is just, we gotta save Janet, and that's the crux of that movie. I'm really kind of excited to see Quantumania because we are establishing Kang the Conqueror as a villain, and at least that's how I understand it. And Kang was introduced in Loki, sort of, but I'm really kind of excited to allow Scott Lang to be like an integral part of what's happening instead of a passerby. And I think that'll be really intriguing.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they do Kang.
Yeah, no, for sure, 100%.
What else are you looking forward to out of the Phase 5?
I'm excited for the things we don't really know about yet. I would like some more one shots. I would like to have something completely random thrown in there.
What If Season 2? I don't know if What If Season 2 is going to be in there or what.
It is. Yeah, okay. It is. And we may even get Season 3 within this phase also.
Okay.
I know they're working on both seasons of that.
What's your opinion of Blade?
We've heard his voice. I like Blade as a character. The original three movies with Wesley Snipes were time capsules of greatness. Early 2000s campy silliness. Blade 2, directed by Guillermo del Toro. I didn't know who Guillermo del Toro was until Blade 2 came out. And now I need to see every... Oh, man, Pinocchio's out. Pinocchio, I gotta watch Pinocchio. Yeah. But I love Guillermo del Toro, and would my adoration of him be the same had he not done the comic book movies? You know, not to mention Hellboy, which I think I've gone on about with you before. But, I mean, Blade 2, man, is so good. The original Blade kind of blew everybody out of the water because comic book movies didn't do that.
I know.
And then Blade 2 was amazing. And then Blade Trinity also exists and is a movie.
That's funny.
No, for sure. No, Blade is a character I'm into. The actor who's playing him was the villain in season one of Luke Cage. And I can't say the actor's name to save my life. I'm not going to try. I'm very tired and I will mess it up. I've only seen him in a handful of stuff. I'm excited for it, though. I'm curious if we will see Kit Harington's Black Knight hanging out with him, because he apparently gave the Black Knight the sword at the end of Eternals. Oh, I would really love to see more of Eros. In the post-credit scene for Eternals, Harry Styles was playing Eros, the brother of Thanos, and that is Zets inspired casting. It's phenomenally smart. As soon as I saw it, and I don't know, Harry Styles is divisive as an actor or creator or whatever, but like, for everything that Eros is in the comics, like, oh, of course it should be Harry Styles, 100%, 100%.
So explain, back up on the sword. He gave the end credit scene, he gave the sword to who again on that?
Kit Harington's character from Eternals. He's the Black Knight.
Okay, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. So in, all right. They're planning on doing something with the Black. We run out of the marquee characters, right?
Yeah.
So like, well, we'll bring in Blade and the Black Knight, and why not, though? Like, it's cool. Let's do this. I think you had mentioned earlier that we're going to get that Captain America movie. We're going to get Sam Wilson as Captain America. We didn't even really touch on Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but I think that show, again, being a victim of COVID, was really, really fun. They ended up having to scrap a lot of the Winter Soldier's storyline because it was going to deal with a virus that had broken out across America.
I remember hearing about that.
Like, oh, maybe let's not do that while COVID's happening.
Hashtag too soon.
Yeah, definitely. Like, just the timing on that was not great.
Yeah.
And I feel like in the first couple episodes watching that, I really resonated with Bucky, because again, like, I'm a veteran, I've got PTSD, there's certain things about that I relate to, and I really was digging Bucky's story. And I think ultimately the show was called Falcon and Winter Soldier, and it really was more of a Falcon show. Like, Bucky was there, he had a role to play, but I was ultimately a little disappointed in how muted I felt his role was. But I don't want to sell Sam Wilson short at all, because he did such a good show. And seeing, you know, his Captain America in the end there, like, just looking the part. And I'm really, really excited to see where that's going in the future. Phase 5 to me feels rife with potential in a way that Phase 4 let me down on. Phase four ultimately, I've been saying from the get-go, I think last time we talked, even I've been saying that Phase 4, in my opinion, should have been just like referred to as a standalone phase, because phases 1, 2, and 3 all kind of had through lines, and we knew that we were building to Thanos, and we knew that everybody was going to kind of coalesce into this grand thing. And Phase 4 doesn't have that. Again, what I was saying earlier, Phase 4 is about personal stories on a grand scale. I mean, you opened up with Black Widow and you end with Wakanda Forever, and all of those stories it's a personal story on a grand scale. And I don't think, I think that's why a lot of these stories, specifically Eternals, get kind of a bum rap, because we were expecting Endgame. We were expecting the stakes to raise and get larger. And how do you do that when you just brought back half of all of existence? How do you top that? You don't.
Yeah, you don't.
you take a step back. And that's exactly what Marvel did. But the marketing kind of let us all down and put us in the mindset of this is all going to get bigger. We can't even tell you what's going to happen in Spider-Man. It's going to be so big, it's going to blow your mind. And it did blow my mind, but it's a small story. It's about Peter Parker. Ooh, can we? I don't know if we could. If we include... just as an aside, I guess not really MCU related, but I am so excited for Across the Spider-Verse. I am so like Into the Spider-Verse is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, it's really good.
And the fact that we're getting just that and more is really, really cool. Just the one full trailer we've seen at this point is just fun. And again, that goes back to what I was saying earlier about those one shots. We shouldn't get this. We shouldn't be able to have these nice things. It's really, really cool.
Back to phase five. Do you know, it doesn't look like there's a main villain, like you said, phase one, two, and three, Thanos was the main villain. It doesn't appear they're doing that in phase five. Is that correct?
Phase five, it's been heavily inferred that Kang will at least bring in, if he's not the threat, he'll be the herald to the threat.
Okay.
And I wonder, because we know that the Fantastic Four are coming, they'll be in phase six, because we'll have, like, isn't Kang Dynasty, I think, is one of the Avengers movies.
I think so.
Yeah, I can't quite remember, because you know, we've got the Skrulls with Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion, yep.
I think there's more of a chance for Phase 5 to be more cohesive than Phase 4 was.
Okay.
And I think it's too early to say what that might be, whether or not it's going to be Kang interweaving, and maybe we'll get a different version of Kang in all of the movies. I think that's a little bit of a stretch. But I do think that when you and I do our wrap up for Phase 5, we'll be able to say, okay, the thing that tied Phase 5 together was this, instead of just conceptually all of the things matching something. I think there's going to be more of a through line.
Yeah. And you don't have to have right now, I can't say. You don't have to have a main baddie. I mean, it's fine if you do, but you don't have to.
No, for sure. And Thanos also was kind of backdoored in. It's not like Thanos was all over the place in all of those movies. And I would like to see it go back to Phase 5, right? Phase 5 and Phase 6 are going to be this big thing, but, like, give it some breathing room.
Yeah.
I would like to just take some time to just let these properties exist. I think that's my takeaway from Phase 4, is that I really just, let me spend time with these characters now. Like, I got to spend some time with Hawkeye. That's great. Give me some time with some of the Eternals. Like, let me give a darn about these 12 characters you introduced.
Yeah.
Let me spend some time with them. Werewolf by Night, I got to spend some time with these people, and now I like them a lot. Ms. Marvel, spent some time with her.
Yeah.
Really liked her. Black Widow, spent some time with that family. Really liked them. And ultimately, Phase 4, I think sneakily was just about character and less about spectacle. But not to say that there was no spectacle to be had, but I think the spectacle took a back seat. Yeah, I'll say that. Yeah, that's fine.
Out of the Phase 5, we went through them all there. I always like predictions. What do you think is going to be the standout you know, top two or three that are going to really pop? And what do you think might be maybe a dud? And not just a dud with, I guess, just a dud overall with people. I mean, you may or may not like it, but it doesn't mean that other folks won't.
I'm not looking forward to the Agatha Harkness show.
Yeah, that's the one I was like, eh.
Yeah, and like,
do we need that?
Please prove me wrong, Marvel. Like, absolutely, prove me wrong. And that goes, but it feels counter to what I was just saying. Like, give me some time with Agatha. Maybe I'll like her. Maybe I liked Agatha all along, right? I think Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be significant, just because it's going to be wrapping up James Gunn time at Marvel, because he's doing all of his DC stuff now, which you and I should probably talk about in the future.
Once the whole
all of it has been a little bit ironed out. I think James Gunn's Guardians is going to be probably one of the best movies he's done, based on the culmination of what got us to the party. Captain America, I think, needs to be good. Okay. I think Secret Invasion is going to surprise people.
Okay.
I think that's going to be one of those things where people are like, yeah, Nick Fury, Skrulls, I don't care. And I think it has a lot of potential to be super fun.
I am looking forward to that one, maybe more than most of them, but probably, yeah. Secret Invasion, Guardians of the Galaxy, looking forward to those two. Definitely. Ant-Man.
Ryan North right now is writing a 5-issue Secret Invasion story. It's not a retelling of the original Secret Invasion. It's a new one. And I highly recommend it. He's also writing the new Fantastic Four book for Marvel, which is really cool.
I kind of agree with you. I was going through the list here, and which one is not like the other? Agatha.
But also, like, again, I would like them to prove me wrong. Like,
yeah,
please,
yeah.
Please, maybe Agatha will be the greatest thing to come out of Phase 5. And
sure.
I truly hope it is. I absolutely want to be wrong.
A lot of these, you know, legacy characters, you've got, you know, Daredevil, obviously longtime character, Captain America, longtime character, Ironheart. What do you think about Ironheart?
I love her.
Okay.
Love her to pieces. I think she was a massive standout in Wakanda Forever.
Okay.
Her and Namor, I think, were two of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
Also, here's a spoiler for Wakanda Forever, y'all. I thought Nakia should have been Black Panther.
Oh.
I thought Nakia would have killed it. Did you see the movie?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Nakia.
So Shuri can't, this is not really a fighter. We saw Nakia literally just kicking the crap out of people and being awesome at it. And I really felt like I would have liked to have seen Nakia be Black Panther and Shuri keeping her guy in the chair role, like keeping her on the tech and doing the stuff that she's really, really good at.
Yes.
And excels at, instead of magically being able to fight people. Because, like, we saw T'Challa, he gave up the power in the first movie and still was able to hold his own against M'Baku. Sure, he couldn't have done it.
No.
There's no possible way she would have ever been able to do it. But Nakia, you put Nakia against M'Baku, and I'm like, I mean, maybe he'll win, but also maybe she'll win. And I thought that would have been a really fun twist on expectations.
Yeah, they kind of pigeonholed her, maybe. Mm-hmm. Into a role
I loved that, man. That movie was so much fun.
So you think Ironheart might end up being pretty good too, huh? Or could
I think
be.
Ironheart is gonna end up on my list where Ms. Marvel is on my list for Phase 4.
Okay.
Like, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's gonna be fun. I think that I am not the target for it, and I don't need to be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
I want to give kids something to look forward to. As
sure.
You and I associate kids stuff with Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
Like, you and I think Spider-Man, like Peter Parker is the entry, is the gateway drug. And that's just not the case.
No.
Now we've got Kamala Khan. We've got Riri Williams. We've got Miles Morales, which is Spider-Man, sure, but that's not what I was saying. And I'm really kind of excited that maybe we can get a Champions movie. You know, like, introduce Miles, give me Riri, you know,
make you,
man, in my wildest dreams, have Kate and Yelena, like, co-lead this team of kids. Boy, it would just be terrible, and it would be so much fun.
Terrible, but fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It'd be terrible for everybody else involved, but it'd be a great show.
I guess predicting, let's go out even further, Tim. We'll end here pretty soon, but
yeah.
What do you hope? We've heard lots of rumors about Phase 6 and Phase 7 even. I guess what...
Galactus. I'm just going to interrupt you. It's Galactus. Is
coming. That's what you want to see.
it's got to be. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe... Because we've got the two Avengers movies that are coming out.
Yeah.
My theory, if for whatever it's worth, is that we're going to get Victor Von Doom. My guess is the first movie will end with Von Doom. And I think we're going to get... I think we're going to get a Silver Surfer. I think we're going to get a Galactus. But I don't know that Galactus is necessarily going to be like the big bad in 6, but I think we'll understand that Galactus is a thing.
He's coming
in
okay.
6. But okay. Yeah, I wholeheartedly believe that we're driving towards a Galactus.
Ah.
Like almost like if we don't see Galactus by the end of Phase 6, I'll eat my hat.
Okay.
Yeah.
You heard it here.
Yeah. I need to go buy a hat. But I will eat it. Yeah, if we don't see him by the end of Phase 6.
Yeah, I have a feeling. Because we know Fantastic Four is coming, and you can't have Fantastic Four without Galactus at some point.
And vice versa also. You can't have Galactus without the Fantastic Four.
Is there any other titles that you haven't heard rumors of that you would like to see?
Midnight Suns.
Midnight Suns. Okay. Yeah.
I would very much, I mean, especially we had the video game come out. With the video game, we've got, we also have comics that are out. We have Blade. We've got Werewolf by Night. We've got Elsa Bloodstone. Throw them in a team. Let's go do some stupid, stupid monster stuff. Like, why not? Like, absolutely, why not? Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't think Guardians of the Galaxy is necessarily going to go anywhere, but James Gunn's time. Yeah. On Guardians of the Galaxy is wrapping up. We kind of need a new quirky thing. And like, why not? Just give me some monsters. Let's go do that for a little bit.
Okay, well, that brings up another question. I guess with James Gunn leaving, what titles, MCU characters or shows or movies do you think they're going to maybe just put to bed and we may not see them again ever or at least for a while?
I don't think that that's going to be something we're going to see right away, because we've got a new Captain America with Yelena. We've got a new Widow character, whether or not she's a Black Widow, I don't know. Let's say Scott Lang dies in Quantumania. You've got Stature to kind of fill in for him. I think we're going to see Legacy be a through line, because we've got Shuri taking over for T'Challa. We have the end of Love and Thunder teases that the legacy of Thor is gonna move on past Hemsworth's time. Should he decide to hang up the cape? Because we got Kate is Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And we She-Hulk. Did you see the end of She-Hulk?
I haven't, no. But you go ahead and spoil it if you want to.
Scar. Scar shows up. Son of Hulk is there.
Okay.
Also, you do need to watch She-Hulk. Like, if nothing else, you come over and we will watch She-Hulk, because it is a fun aside with She-Hulk. The people who I assumed would like She-Hulk don't like it, and the people I assumed would not like She-Hulk absolutely love it.
Loved it.
And I'm the outlier, because I was expecting to like it, and I absolutely did. But the only reason I don't put it in my top three is because I genuinely love Hawkeye more.
Yeah, Hawkeye.
But She-Hulk, very close second. Very, very close second.
Okay. The MCU is starting, as you said, is moving away from the legacy characters and moving into new blood. Obviously, we can see that for sure. Obviously, that's in-game kind of gave us that.
Yeah, I think with Phase 5, I think we're testing with Phase 4, I believe we're testing the waters to see what Marvel can get away with in the MCU and like what's some weird stuff. They've already gone out and said that moving forward, like Phase 5 is not going to be as expansive as Phase 4, but also I think Phase 4 was kind of a conglomeration of what would have originally been two phases with COVID and whatnot.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think we're going to see a little bit more of a streamlined idea of what a phase will be. You're a big fan of speculation. I'm less so.
Okay.
I'm more of a, because I feel like where you want to go next is like, who do I think they're going to introduce into the MCU that they haven't announced yet?
I feel like you're
going. If I were to expect any character coming into phase five, it would most likely be a monster character. I feel like it would be a big deal for me to see Dracula with the Tomb of Dracula stuff, because we've got a lot of the tentpole characters from that side, but give me a Ghost Rider. I don't care if it's Robbie, I don't care if it's Danny, I don't care if it's all of them. Mephisto, I think we're gonna see a Mephisto. Just because everybody's been crying Mephisto since WandaVision first came out, I think Marvel's gonna give that to us. Mostly at this point, I just want to know the cast for Fantastic Four. I want to know who will be playing Reed, who will be playing Sue, who's going to be playing Johnny, and who's going to play Ben.
Of course, we got X-Men on the horizon too with Fantastic Four.
X-Men, I'm going to just wait on. Yeah. I'm going to sit on, because I know we're not supposed to be getting too much on X-Men first. Let's go ahead that's a little too far out for my speculation.
Yeah, that's probably a phase 7 or 8, maybe.
Is Deadpool phase 5?
Ooh, yeah. That's true. There is a Deadpool movie coming out next year, right?
Deadpool movie. I'm going to say that one's probably going to steal most of the thunder retroactively.
That's right. You're right. Deadpool. That wasn't on the list I found. Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Well. No, I don't know. I'd be curious. I'm going to put Deadpool in a big old maybe. I don't know how I feel about that. Deadpool, I think, worked very well as an aside to the MCU with like fun little references.
Yes.
But what is that? What does it mean now? And that's where my speculation brain gets a little antsy.
Yeah.
Deadpool, I think in true Deadpool fashion, is going to throw a monkey wrench in there, which is cool. Like, I don't want to come across as like negative on it, but I genuinely don't know what to do with that information in my brain.
Yeah Cool. Well, hey, let's put a pin in this, Tim. It's been fun.
Sure.
Talking phase 4 and phase 5 will be fun to circle around next year about this time, and kind of, well, maybe a year and a half here, but because phase 2 or phase 5 is about 2 years long, so we probably won't
we'll see how it goes. And if people want to hear me ramble about stuff too, I can always do that. I got nothing but time, my friend.
Definitely. All right. Well, hey, thanks, Tim. I appreciate it. And we'll circle around and visit this awesome MCU universe again and take a look at it in more detail and talk about the fun stuff and maybe the not so fun stuff.
Maybe the not so fun stuff. Hey, thanks a lot, Lee. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Always fun to talk to you. So, all right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. And until next time, nerd it up.